in the final book, God talks about a lot of different things to us. He gives us the key to understanding the book, first of all, in Revelation 1:1. You'll never understand the book of Revelation unless you know two things. Things that were shortly come to pass, and things that are signified. That means it's codified. Now, if things were to shortly come to pass, it's not going to be 2,000 years down the road. The majority of things in this sacred book, the book of Revelation, has already been fulfilled. Except some of the things we've already sung about tonight, like heaven itself. And it's important that we understand that. The Bible tells about the blessed man in Revelation. Made as kings and priests, and the Christ will come again. That Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He revealed to us that John is in the kingdom which has been set up. Talked to us about the Lord's Day. And reveals the mystery of the seven stars and the seven candlesticks. He wrote seven different churches of Asia about things that they needed to know. And he emphasized to us in the book of Revelation we must be faithful. Even to the taking of our life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. It was revealed in the book that Jesus is knocking at your door. And you need to let him in. We're invited to come and see in the book of Revelation. There were souls under the altar. Now they're on top of the altar. God's wrath can be stirred up from the book of Revelation. We learn about the 144,000. Just a number. And we learn about there's going to be a half an hour of silence in heaven. Can you imagine that? I'll not say any more about that one. The book of Revelation reveals a reminder of God's creation in Revelation 10:6. And he talks about the hearing ear. That's what ears are for, to hear. And then in Revelation 14:13, he talks about blessed are the dead which die. Is that what he said? That's not what he said. He rather said, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. And by the way, that's the only place that you can afford to die. You cannot afford to die outside of the Lord. Some will. A lot of people will. And that song comes from the book of Revelation 19:1. Hallelujah. God's omnipotence is mentioned in that sacred book. That Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible talks about the 1,000-year reign, which it does not include us. It's not on the earth. And it's talking about the people that did reign. I began to talk to you a little bit tonight about the dead will be judged before heaven itself. In the final book, in Revelation 20, 12 to 15, John was permitted to look beyond the time and see, he said, the small and the great. You know, that's about everybody. You know anybody other than that? The small and the great. And he said, they stand before God. And he said, books will be opened. No doubt that's the books of this Bible. 39 the old, 27 in the new. And another book was opened. You know what that book is? The book of life. And let me ask you a question. Don't answer out loud. Just think about it. Is your name written there? You'll have to decide. It may have been written there one day and blotted out. That's possible. And you need to check to see if that's happened. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books. Watch it. According to their works. Your works are important. And the sea gave up the dead in it. Death and hell, or Hades, delivered up the dead which are in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And the death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Listen carefully to the last verse. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, you know the rest of that? Was cast into the lake of fire. And you don't want that. Now, after all of this, the next thing that comes is victory at last. Paul writing the Corinthians. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 beginning. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In this final book, the book of Revelation, victory comes at last when the Lord's people stand before God to be judged according to their deeds and according to their works. Now, in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, John saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth, were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. There's not a more beautiful sight than a bride who's dressed for her wedding. Remember yours? Remember that bride? How beautiful she was. And heard a voice, a great voice, out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Can you know of a better arrangement than that? That God is there and we can be with him in heaven? I like that verse 4. Maybe you will as well. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There are occasions in this life when we cry. The song we're going to sing at the close is about sometimes we cry. There should be no more death. Won't that be wonderful? What a wonderful place, heaven. There won't be any sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. A lot of people are in pain. Maybe some of you even tonight. Or you know somebody who is. Or you may be later. You won't have that in this great city called heaven. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." You like new things? Most people do. And he said unto me, "Write, for these things are true and faithful." They're so, you can count on them. They're dependable. And he said unto me, "It is done." One of these days it'll be done. It'll all be over. Then again he said, "I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst." You ever get thirsty? Yep. "To drink of the fountain of the water of life freely." Isn't that something? Freely. I like that word, don't you? Are you an overcoming person? Verse 7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Inherit. You like that word? Are you in line to inherit the blessings? In Romans 8, 16, "If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." In 1 Peter 1, 3, he talked about that inheritance that's undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You like that word reservation? Reserved. When you get there, it'll be yours. Isn't that wonderful to know? But the fearful, are you fearful? And unbelieving, are you in that category? The abominable, murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Better quit that stuff if you're guilty of it. Why do that? "They shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone," which is the second day. You don't want that one. Then verse 9, somebody said, "Come hither." The word "come" is an invitation word. Come. Like Matthew 11, 28. "Come unto me, all ye laboring, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." You like that word, rest? In Hebrews 4, it talks about there's rest for the people of God. After working a long, hard day, and it's good to be able to lie down and rest still. You enjoy that? We all do. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain." What did you see, John? He showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone and precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, a wall great and high. And then talks about the gates, the walls. I like verse 16 of Revelation 21. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of an angel. And the building of the wall was of jasper. The city was pure gold. You like gold? Pretty expensive today, isn't it? Like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with the manner of precious stones. And he named some of them. On down through 21. And verse 22, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Verse 23, talk about heaven. The city hath no need of the sun. Why not? Neither the moon. Why not? Don't need the sun or the moon to shine in it. Here's the reason. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by night, by day. No night there. You know, some people are afraid of the dark. You don't have to be afraid of the dark anymore. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Verse 27 is a critical passage. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which, listen to this one, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I ask you again, your name written there? Is it? It can be. Somebody said it used to be. You better make sure. I need to examine myself when I eat the Lord's Supper. And Paul said, told the other people, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. I got to do that. I got to know whether or not I'm ready for the place that lieth foursquare, whose builder and whose maker is God. In chapter 22, he said, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. You like that? Proceed now to the throne of God and of the Lamb. And there was the tree of life, verse 2. Verse 3, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Verse 5, there shall be no night there, no need for candle, no light of the sun, for the glory of God giveth light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said, these things are faithful, and they're true. That is, you can depend on them. And then verse 7, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings, the prophecy of this book. John said, I saw these things. I heard them. I know about them. I fell down to worship. Then he said, don't do that, John. Worship God. That ought to be our goal tonight. And then verse 10, for the time is at hand. I'm Alpha and Omega, verse 13. Let me capitalize on verse 14. We talked recently in the book of Revelation over at Mill Street about these things. And we talked about the blessed man. Makes a good sermon. Is it seven times that the word blessed is found in this book? Blessed are they that do his commandments. You ought to underscore that. Do? Someone said, I didn't know there's anything to do. Who told you that? Who told you that? Do? Yeah. That you got something to do. You just cannot sit down on the stump of do nothing and whittle on the stick of do less. Got to be about doing. Blessed are they that do his commandments. That is, if you won't have the right to the tree of life. If you're not interested in the right to the tree of life, forget it. But I think I'm talking to people who are interested to the right to the tree of life, that they may enter into the city. And verse 17 is an invitation. The spirit and the bride say, come. Is that word again, come? You like that word? Come. Come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that's athirst come. And whosoever will. It's unlimited. Whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And then the final admonition he gives us, don't tamper with this book. Don't add to it nor take from it. He's talking about specifically the book of Revelation in this text. Now the principle is true of the whole book, other places. Deuteronomy 4:2, Proverbs 36, 1 Corinthians 4:6, 2 John 9. That's just a few of them. And then this one. Don't add to nor take away from the words of the prophecy of this book. Leave it alone. It's good like it is. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. Thanks for listening so well. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The Lord invites. We invite. You've heard the word. That's how faith comes. Romans 10:17. That's the only way it comes. God doesn't sap it into you. I wish he did. Comes to hearing the word, doesn't it? Romans 10:7. Got to believe it or die in your sins. John 8:24. Hebrews 11:6. You can't please God without it. God requires all men everywhere to repent. That means quit doing what's wrong and do what's right. On Pentecost, among other things, they were told to repent. Repent or perish, Luke 13:3-5. And then the Lord said, if you'll confess me, I'll confess you. Matthew 10:32. And then the good prime example of that is Acts 8:37. And remember that little story, the conversion of the Ethiopian nobleman? What did he say? After saying, here's water, what hindereth me to be baptized? You know what he said? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have you made that confession? You can do it tonight. And you're on your way to the city of the life, four square. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. When you do that, if you're sincere, and you must be, God pardons every sin you've ever committed, every past sin. He'll add you automatically to his church, Acts 2:47. There's only one of them, you know. There's one body, Ephesians 4, and that one body is the church, Colossians 1:18. And the Savior added to it, Acts 2:47. And Christ is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5:23. Maybe you've already done some of those things, but somehow you got careless. You quit practicing what you know to practice, and you quit doing what you know to do, and you quit being what you know you ought to be doing. And you can straighten all that out tonight while you're still alive, by repenting of those things for which you're guilty and asking God to forgive you. And we'll pray with you as you confess your sins unto him, 1 John 1:9. Don't pass up the opportunity to get ready for the greatest place in the world, out of the world, really, heaven, the home of the soul. We're going to sing the song. We invite you to come right now.